Welcome to the Age of Stories podcast. This is a podcast about stories from the people of the 21st century. We are broadcasting over Twitch every Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Time and are open to chatting with the fans during the show. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-host over here is Motor Rory, who helped me create a 40-person, 4-table Gen Con event. It was insane. He not only helped me with that, he helped me with the Crossing Darkness podcast that we still have going today. We're going to be doing more on that with just a lot of movies of darkness and our actual play. So let's go ahead and kick it off here. How's it going this week, Mike? Or Moto?
Moto.
I already outed you. Oh, no.
Oh, man. They're going to find me. No, that's terrible. No, this week has been okay. Work was, you know, normal, so kind of shitty. Went to go see my parents for Father's Day here. I was wondering, how was your week, and what kind of stuff have you been playing?
Yeah, so this week has been going really well. I do my weekly, well, I kind of have a lot of different weekly games that I play in. So we've got, starting off, we've got our our Technogate game on Mondays that we always play. And that's really going good. I'm the GM, you're one of the players. We have three other major players that play in that. We're starting to come to the conclusion of the first season of Technogate 1999. So we've already did season 0 of Technogate and season 1 of Technogate. And then we did Technogate 1999, which is the year after those events took place. I'm having a blast. How are you doing? And what are some of the feelings that you're having on the game? I feel like we've come a long way since we started that game.
Yeah, no, it's really weird to think about it in retrospect, because like we've done so much now, and yeah, it's kind of like when you get to being in a campaign for a long time and you're like, oh shit, we have done a lot. It's kind of crazy. And playing in the game, especially because we're streaming it, it's the way I describe it is every single week I hope beyond hope that night's game is going to be canceled. And then when the episode is done, when we finish, I'm so happy that it happened. And, you know, as a person who watches Critical Role, I got into that in the past year here during pandemic. There was an interview with one of the players of that game, and people were surprised to hear from him that he's like, every single time we sit down to play this game, I get nervous. And they're like, you're nervous? Why? It's like, because I'm a voice actor. All my shit is like, I'm not a, like, he's nervous because people are watching it. He right. wants it to be good. And that's why I get nervous before every single one. I want it to be good, and I hope it is for people. Yeah. And, you know, it's it's our first foray into RPG actual plays, and I think it's been going pretty well. And on top of that, you know, we've been having a really good time. So,
absolutely.
So other than that, what other stuff are you playing?
We've got
watching?
Tuesday that we have the RimWorld game that I do. I stream that sometimes. And it's basically just been an ongoing, we do 3 hours every Tuesday on RimWorld, and we're slowly building up this civilization. We finally have a civilization that's been running for like weeks and weeks and weeks now. It's all like going really well. We've built up a lot of different people, and we started off in the primitive age without any mods, and we just have built them up to the point where they have, you know, tons of technology now. They're not, you know, super advanced, but they've, you know, been able to build, you know, I think we've got electricity everywhere, we've got a refrigerator and all that shit that needs to, in order to keep things going. RimWorld is a great top-down kind of sim kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say, what actually is RimWorld, just for people who don't know?
Yeah, so RimWorld is this, it's this idea that you have crash landed, or you're part of a primitive organization that lives on this crazy rim planet, this planet out on the rim. And even if you're playing, you know, primitive, everybody else can have like advanced technology and stuff like that. So dudes with like, you know, laser guns will come gun down your people. But you're build up this little civilization, and you can kind of interact with the different other civilizations that are around. They'll come and raid you. You can go raid them. And it's just a fun little single player game normally. But there's a mod for it that allows for it to be multiplayer, where everybody kind of has their own mouse on the screen and they can kind of interact with things. And it's just been a blast. I like it doing single player, but multiplayer for me is a lot of fun, because it's just, we just sit around and just shit talk with your friends while you're building up the civilization together.
Yeah, who is playing that with you?
So we've got Melcantro, the kind spirit of the forest, and Coder that plays with me on that one.
Okay, I know all those people.
Yeah.
I go to Gen Con with them.
Yep.
Most years.
And then Wednesday is so that's Loki Day for me, you know, and I don't know if
we gotta talk about Loki.
Yeah, Loki.
Oh yeah,
is a story of the 21st century for sure. Like, really well done. I have to say that, like, out of all of the splits, I mean, even Captain America, I feel like, started a little slow. You know, it was kind of a build up to this epic moment of getting Winter Soldier and the Falcon, you know, and now it's Winter Soldier and Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great, you know, storyline that they did, but it took a little while. WandaVision was a slow build. It was cool what they were doing, but it was like, what's going on here? Like, what, you know, each one of them, you're kind of going, what's going on? You know, when are we going to see the...
WandaVision took, what, like 4 episodes before, like, you really kind of got your mind around what the hell was going on. Yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think there was a bit more, I mean, great show, but there was a bit of confusion with it, I think, because another friend of mine was telling me that there was a whole plot that they kind of cut out of the thing, which was that there was some sort of plague going on, and so they had to cut it out for some reason. I think it was because the show was written before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we need to cut out this thing about the plague that happened. And so, like, there's a bunch of scenes where it's like, it would have made more sense if there had been a plague.
Yeah,
I mean, they did a good
job. Rewatch that and imagine that there's a plague thing going on in the background and see if it kind of feels
a
little bit more...
They backloaded it onto the refugee status of people who had been displaced because of the snap, which is the people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's the blip. Or is it the snap and then the blip, or the blip and then the snap? I don't know.
Yeah, this is the blip. Yeah, the blip is what brought them back.
Blip is the back, them coming back. Yeah, so...
Which I thought they did an intro. I was wondering, they didn't do one of the scenes that I didn't think they were gonna do. I mean, it's Disney, so. But they did do the show that, like, oh shit, there's just a bunch of people showing up in weird spots that they should, like, that, you know, were either occupied by other people, or, you know, stuff like that. Not like physically, like they didn't explode somebody, but it was just like, boom, all of a sudden you're like right next to a person and you're wondering what the hell's going on, because you were gone and they're in the middle of doing their daily life, you know, or whatever. They show up in a house that they used to live in, but now somebody else lives in there. And
There would be lots of houses like that. The one from WandaVision was, of course, the lady cop.
Yep.
I can't remember her name. She becomes Proton later. She becomes a superhero.
Right.
And she shows up in the hospital room where she was, like, doing vigil for her mother, who had cancer. And, like, you could write thousands upon thousands of stories of people showing up and, like, all the shit that you would have to deal with. Like, not least of which would be my spouse disappeared and yeah. I remarried.
Yep, there's gonna be like, a bunch of that. Also, they didn't show it, but the one thing that I want to know is, what about all the people on the highway?
Oh, shit. Like, yeah. That's a rough one.
There's a lot of unsafe spots that people would be... And the one thing, though, that I imagine... Because that's... I wish they would have addressed a very specific dangerous situation that didn't kill or did kill the person blipped in. Because then that would answer the question of whether or not when he blips them back, is he like, I want everybody to come back at a safe location.
I would bet it's kind of like D&D rules, where it's like, if the intended space is occupied, you are shunted to the nearest safe open space.
I agree with that to a certain degree, except for some of the things would be that, like, in the highway would be the worst one, because it's very possible that you would blip in, not into a car, make you pop over. It would be in front of the car, and then they just run you over. The idea, though, would be, I would think they would go to a safe spot, but I wish they would have addressed that. Just shown us, like, a blip in that was extremely dangerous that they got away with, you know, that they were blipped to a safer spot instead or something. Shunted over.
Yeah, I imagine that the writers were, like, bringing that up, and then a bunch of people were like, you know what? We're just not going to do it.
Well,
also,
you can leave it to the fans to fantasize about and to write about themselves and stuff. So, you know, give it, sometimes as a writer, I could see putting just completely not explaining or talking about one thing just so that the fans can have something to talk about forever.
Yeah. Also, what happened to people that were on airplanes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. See, like, that would be, you wouldn't be junting into something, so you wouldn't go to the junt to a safe space. You would just appear in the sky.
In my theory, because it's kind of like a wish spell, you can kind of do whatever you want with it. It's like the nearest open seat on any plane that's currently flying. Right?
Yeah, and there would be probably more open seats on planes. There would be more open space on the road. I wish we would have got to see, like, the day-to-day life of a person after the junt or after the snap, and seeing, like, did things kind of, besides, like, the horrible, you know, I'm sure, like, the world being in chaos for a while, but did it eventually kind of do what Thanos wanted to a little bit? Did it free up space on the roads and make things a little bit more environmental?
Well, you'd have basically twice the infrastructure that you need,
right?
Kind of. I mean, you'd still have shitty infrastructure.
If it all was anyway, D-class.
So Loki, we're only two episodes in. I'm guessing you've been watching them on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I don't want to go. I don't want to spoil anything, because that's a current thing. But I do want to say that dropped you right in. They were like, "Boom! Here you go. Here's the story. Here's what's up." Here's a little bit of a gray area in the first episode that's like, what's kind of fucking going on here to a certain degree? And then they clear it up in the second episode. I feel very fulfilled with the first two episodes that I need to know more, but I'm not like sitting here going, what is this show? You know, I know what this show is now, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can even talk about it without spoiling it, so I will just concur with, I'm really looking forward to the rest of Loki. I kind of do like that there are more shows like this. Like, I remember watching the series finale of, you know, Game of Thrones with two of my friends, and even though the last seasons were, you know, generally considered to suck, like, we all still fucking sat down on Sunday night and watched it, and a lot of times together, and it was like, this is never going to happen again. There's never going to be a show like this. And now, you know, we've had I feel like the Marvel shows, they're not getting as close, but they're getting to a certain point where it's like, oh shit, did you see Loki last night? Holy fuck.
Yeah, no, that's been happening at work for me, like, with my coworkers. All of us are like, are you caught up yet? Can we say anything? You know, like, and it was with that same way with WandaVision, same way with Captain America. You know, it's always, did you watch the episode? Did you see it? Like, can we talk about it?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love what Marvel is doing, and I hope other networks are able to do it. I feel like there is a show that another network had that was close. Oh wait, no, it was Disney as well. It was The Mandalorian, so right. Which was also an amazing show.
Yep. But yeah, so also on Wednesdays, I've been trying to get out and playing disc golf a little bit more. And I know my wife has league on Wednesdays, so I'll usually follow her, but then try and get ahead of the group. And I've been trying to work out a way to, so that we can, because I also do EVE Online every Wednesday. We take out a fleet for my corporation, Golden Age Stories, and we go out and murder people. And we've been getting a lot of good attention on YouTube and stuff like that, and on Twitch from doing our Wednesday fleets. We've got 4 streamers that we have in our fleet, so our fleet is well spied upon. We are one of the most spied upon organizations in EVE Online, because of all of our major activities is like streamed by the head of our leadership. So
that's where people watch your Twitch channel to find out where you are, and then they come attack you, right?
Yeah, we don't really get a lot of that as much as I expected. You know, I imagine it happens to us, but we don't even really notice. We get a lot of kills, and we just go around and murder people. But there is stream sniping happens for sure. You know, that I just
okay. I really thought that's what you meant.
But that's what I meant by the spying upon. Yeah, it's yeah, because we're on Twitch, because all of us are. It's easy to say. It's our running joke of like, you know, who's the spy? I'm the spy because I'm streaming. Like, of course, showing the whole world.
Yeah.
But yeah, in any case, yeah,
we do that on Wednesdays.
Yeah, and that's been going really good. We've built up from just being like me and one other dude to like there's about 7 or 8 of us that'll go out every once in a while. You know, that are us. It's like between like 5 and 7 people will come out, and then we've been just randomly just been picking up people, and anybody that wants to come out and murder with us, we don't care how new or shitty you are or whatever. We can just. If you're even there to spy on us, that's fine. You can just watch a stream too. That's you don't have to join fleet.
Yeah. And no, I'm not gonna play Eve. Stop trying to convince me.
But it's, yeah, on Thursday.
You've been trying to get me to play Eve for years.
Not really. I haven't really tried to get you to play Eve other than just ask.
That's true.
And bring you to parties that are about Eve Online, which actually. There's a possibility that I might be hosting a pretty big Eve party here in August. I'm working out the details with one of my buddies. Oh. And if we get stuff solidified, I'll talk a little bit about that some more. But in August, yeah, I plan on kind of having a big kind of bash at my place. And Madison, Wisconsin kind of has this weird nexus of Eve Online players. So there's a big possibility in August that we might have a big cookout that's going to be happening at my house. So,
hey, that would be pretty cool. Well, I would obviously come by because I could walk there in 5 minutes.
Right. And then Thursdays we have our Stellaris games. So we are testing out the new expansion for Stellaris, which is an online or it's a single or multiplayer. 4X strategy mixed with some grand strategy type elements. So we've been playing the hell out of those games. But just multiplayer these days. Like, I don't even really play single player anymore just because we have the weekly multiplayer game going. So, but they just added in spies into that game. Speaking of spies from Eve, we'll bring that over to here. That now there's spying in Stellaris. It's awesome. You can steal technology, you can cause pirates, you can you can gather assets to help you steal technology, you know, like build up your base so you get like all these assets that'll help you do all these different things. You don't immediately see the entire map when you meet somebody. You just see their like the first place that you popped up for seeing that, or if you got an embassy, you'll see their capital, but you might not see all of their planets and stuff like that. So it's Stellaris is just an awesome game that has is such a fun kind of storytelling kind of game, to be honest. Is it every time you play, it's a different story, even if you're playing the same exact race.
It almost brings up the idea for me, like, to play a Stellaris game and then do like LARPs of the leadership,
right?
Doing like diplomatic things.
I want to do that because there is a council. You can have the a council that becomes a council of one, and then the emperor is created, and somebody can become a crisis in the game. They've added a lot of interesting elements to it, and there's all these laws and stuff that you have to vote on and stuff. So there is a bunch of role playing that can be had, and we do it a little bit in the stream that I do. I wanna do more, where it's like, because every once in a while a vote will come up and we'll kind of talk about what our feelings are on the vote and why we think people should vote it a certain way. But I feel like that should be like the center focus of like the entire game, is not kicking ass and doing well in the 4X strategy. It's just all about, like 5 to 10 people just arguing over what laws should be passed and why.
Hey, that's how most of my D&D games end up.
Yeah, so
so that's Thursday.
And then Friday, we do usually we have a game of Dominion online that's going. And I'll stream that sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And last week we did a game of Catan though, and so that was a lot of fun. We played a little bit of Dominion and then we played some Catan. And I came close to winning, but Coder's wife ended up winning very, very easily. she's kicking ass and taking names. She's really good at
pretty good at that game.
Yeah. She's got a
Yeah, speaking of that, when I went to see my parents today, my mom was like, "We played Seafarers of Catan last night with the Johnsons, and I won." My mom usually doesn't win the Catan games because she's
nice.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to put it. My dad's very strategic. Mm-hmm. Like, in another life, he played chess. But yeah, so it basically came down to somebody asked my mom, "How many victory points do you have?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't know. Let me count." And then she got to like 10. I don't know. How many does it take to win?
It's 10 usually. Seafarers might be like 14, but the one that we were playing was 14 because it was a big game. So I think it's 10 with
it. Yeah, I can't remember what the numbers are, but she had one more that she needed, and she had a victory card that nobody saw that had a point. So like, she just wasn't paying attention to how many victory points she had. Yeah,
my
parents play a lot of board games.
That proves that she's not in it to win it. Like, she's in it to have fun.
No, she's not.
She's
yeah, and then. And then she was like, and I didn't have any boats. I was like, "You didn't have any boats? You didn't have any boats?"
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's winning without any boats in Seafarers with 2 more points than you needed. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, then there was... Sunday I went up and had a graduation party up at my land, and I'm getting my... shed put in, so I checked out the gravel that we just laid down for the shed. Really loving the look of that, and really liking the shed that we bought, so I can't wait to have it all put down. And then I want to throw a big ass party out at my land as well at some point, because it'd be really awesome just to have that place all set up and place to store all my shit and hang out and kind of make it into a little cabin over time.
Yeah, no, I I've been up there. It's a lovely place to tool around on four-wheelers.
Yeah. Camp out, relax. Yeah. We want to get a well going and get a porta potty up there as well, or some kind of shitter for us. So.
Oh yeah, you guys don't have plumbing back there, do you?
Not back there, but we have like three houses, like right next to the land that is literally within walking distance, but much more in the sense of you just jump on the four wheeler and you can get there in a minute.
Yeah,
we all have four wheelers. That's how we get around out in the land.
Yeah, that shit was fun.
Yeah, oh, and they fixed up a lot of, like, that big, huge hill thing that you had to, like, go over that you got stuck on one time, I think, when you crossed the river.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, they fixed that up. That's all that's all nice now, and they did out the trails really well in a lot of areas, so it's really nice now.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I look forward to the next time I get to go up there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now to connect it back to what I've been doing, let's go back all the way to, I was over at your house. I didn't get to play because you guys had already played Firefly, the board game.
Yeah, last Sunday. Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah, so I was just hanging out, and while you guys were playing Firefly, the board game, four player, which... I've played with you guys a bunch. I didn't feel left out. In preparation for the next Movies of Darkness, I sat and watched The Crow, which I had never seen before.
Yeah, that's crazy that you've never seen that before.
I hung out with a lot of different people in high school, and I was adjacent to the goths, but like nobody was ever like, oh, The Crow, you gotta watch that.
But The Crow was never... still just a popular 90s film, like, regardless of goth or not. Mm. Like, I wasn't really goth when I watched The Crow, for sure.
Yeah. Well, regardless. I never watched The Crow. So I got to watch it in preparation for the next Movies of Darkness. And it was good. It was okay.
Well, I mean, it's also dated 25 years or whatever now, but...
Yeah, but I mean, Hackers was amazing.
Hackers is a classic, and it's in this own world of weirdness that that 90s nostalgia that is just, I don't know. I guess some people would say that Hackers suck too because it's a 90s movie, but I don't feel that way.
I mean, you could argue that there are certain parts of it.
Some parts of it for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so I'm just trying to think of the other stuff that I've played.
You got your D&D games.
Yeah, so I play a D&D game on Tuesdays that's being run by the guy who plays Malachi on Technogate, and we don't use his. We're trying not to use people's real names, which is hard sometimes. But yeah, so he runs a D&D game that's actually coming pretty close to the end. We're about to fight some sort of ancient red dragon that is about to be shunted out of the fire plane where he was imprisoned for a millennia, or a very long time. So we're going to do that. My Friday D&D game, which is with the exact same people but a different GM, that's actually... I'm having a lot of fun with that because we're experimenting with playing multiple characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like that idea of having, you have, like, what, four characters each or five?
I have four. He kind of left it up to us to like, figure out how many we wanted. So I've got four. I think somebody else has four, and then it's three and then two.
So are you doing, like, mass combat with all of them? All of those yep. characters in one fight usually, and so is it usually yeah. like one opponent, or is it usually like another, like 20 opponents as well?
So far it's mostly been one or two.
Mm-hmm. So you're using your greater numbers in order to fight something that's beyond your abilities, basically. Normally, if you had a partner.
Yeah. Yeah, and our GM is definitely like the. Like, if you had a regular-sized party, these things would just destroy us. But we've got like, I think it's actually, so 5, 4, 4, we've got 13 characters, I think. And then a couple NPCs that we also control that we've kind of picked up through story. And yeah, the whole thing is we're going down the Selen River in the, what's that? The Pathfinder universe.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So yeah, like so that's fun. Yeah, no, Pathfinder is good. You ran it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then and then that fell apart because of well, actually not because of pandemic. We continued to play during the pandemic. It was it's when Brian or I mean when that when the other guy Coder. Took over.
Yeah, when Coder took over, well, it was because we were I was getting kind of having a lot of other projects kind of starting to stack up as well, and then and he wanted to do Starfinder, and I was really interested in playing Starfinder, so I was
yeah, me too.
And there's a possibility that'll be coming back as well every other Saturday. You know, I've got to talk to Brian more about it, but we tried, but we didn't get as much interest as we had thought we would be getting. So
oh, I saw the invite. I didn't respond to it. I'm sorry. I should have done that. Let Coder know that I would play whenever he wants to run anything.
All right, cool. Well, I'll let him know, and I'm sure we'll do some frisbee golf together at some point too. So, which we need to get.
Oh yeah,
more frisbee golf, more frisbee.
Yes, we do need to play more frisbee golf. Just trying to think, what else do I have? So mostly, what I do other than those games. I don't play a lot of video games, which is strange because like all my friends play video games, like a lot. But I don't really play video games. I watch a lot of TV and movies. The show that I just finished up is Blind Spot, which I don't know how popular it was. I'm not sure. I think it was on NBC, like on Friday nights. But I really liked it. I think they did a great job. It's got 5 solid seasons. I paid for them on Amazon. I don't think they're available on any other streaming service. Like, if it's just so, it might be hard to find. But yeah, Blind Spot. It's starts with a woman covered in tattoos, and her memory is erased, is left in a duffel bag in Times Square. And all of her tattoos turn out to be puzzles. And so the main arc of the story is just every single thing is a puzzle. So it's just a lot of smart people doing puzzles and then shooting guns a lot.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
It's kind of like a D&D campaign. But the reason I started watching that is because one of the main actresses on that show is also one of the main characters on Critical Role, which is, as you know, the most popular D&D actual play that's out there, and is actually blamed for D&D getting more popular in the last few years, run by Matt Mercer. It's Ashley Johnson. She was on Critical Role, and she's been gone for lots of huge chunks of Critical Role to go film that show. Mm-hmm. And they put a bunch of Easter eggs into it. But the reason I wanted to bring that up also was because Critical Role just finished their second campaign. So if there's anybody out there who was thinking about getting into Critical Role, now is a good time because they're starting up a new thing. And then their third campaign is going to start in a few months.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Awesome.
So just this past Thursday, the thing that they broadcast was something called the campaign wrap-up. And it's literally just all the players sitting around asking mostly the GM, but also other players, like, what the hell was going on there? And so it's mostly the GM being like, oh, that, when that happened, here's like all the gears in the background that was actually happening.
We did just get a question from Orange. Orange asked,
"Oh, hey, Orange.
Doesn't Critical Role require a subscription?" On Twitch, maybe?
No. On Twitch, if you want to watch
live,
if you want to watch live, you just open Twitch and watch it.
Okay, is it their VODs then that are? I'm kind of
confused. Yeah. So what
would be their.
So you can watch everything they have on YouTube, and I think it might be on Twitch as well. It's just after they do a broadcast on Thursday, the YouTube video up until Sunday.
Yes.
And
okay.
The podcast for that episode doesn't drop until like a week later.
Mm-hmm. And there are some things about Twitch where you're supposed to give like a 24-hour barrier. Like there's supposed to be a 24 exclusive to Twitch, according to the Twitch rights.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So if you don't watch it live, if you want to watch it before it drops on YouTube, yes, you do have to subscribe on Twitch to watch it on Twitch.
Interesting. Okay. So their VODs are blocked off with needing subscription to get into their VOD list.
Yeah, I guess. I probably don't know, because once I actually caught up to the show, once I actually caught up and started watching it live, I just subscribed because I was like, I've gotten literally like 1,000 hours of content from these people. I should probably give them a few bucks.
Right.
So I did that. So I was watching it live for the last, I think, 2-3 months of the campaign, which was pretty awesome.
Interesting. Yeah. I continuously need to get into Critical Role, and I just haven't yet. Now that I know that there's a new season coming out, though, I should just maybe that's something that we can touch base on every once in a while. What's going on in Critical Role?
Well, yeah, I mean, now that we're doing this version of the podcast, and I suggested that we talk about, you know, what we've been watching, what we've been playing in the past week, I'm going to tell you about Critical Role every week. So,
yeah.
So you probably don't have to watch
it. Well, I want to watch it just to get some of the, you know, just to watch it, first of all, and secondly, because I want to try and see what they're doing and see if I can add or change or mess with what I'm doing in my actual plays to kind of I can't do a lot of what they're doing anyways, so the story.
I'm not sure you'd even want to.
In any case, that brings us kind of to what is the Age of Stories podcast that we're doing here. And so I kind of just want to jump in real quick about that and just explain that, like, the idea that I kind of have here for this is we're going to try and bring people onto the show and do interviews and try and get stories from the, you know, people of the 21st century. That we'll probably have a strong focus on gaming because that's where storytelling and a lot of cool stories come from. But, you know, like Mike said, we might be, you know, talking about other actual plays that we're watching. We might be talking about other movies. If it's got to do with stories that are happening, you know, around the 21st century, you know, I'd say that we're open to talking about even, you know, Shakespearean shit if that's what you got into, you know, or that's what we have somebody that comes on and wants to talk about. But yeah, in general, the focus of
every once in a while.
Go ahead.
The space opera musical in the year being off and on for years.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. I think your internet is not 100%. Someday we're gonna have to figure out what's going on with your internet, or we're just gonna have to start doing these shows over at my house where internet is stable.
Yeah, we could do that. I could just come over. But yeah, I think the only thing that we're not going to talk about is politics, because plenty of people can do that.
I'm not really big into the idea of having a show about politics. And so those stories we will leave for other news agencies to deal with and other podcasts to deal with. But yeah, so we're a lot of our focus will be mainly on gaming and on books and movies and stuff like that. So, but it does look like Mike is having a little bit of more technical difficulties than he's had in the past here for the beginning of the show. So I think we're going to start wrapping it on up here. We are a good chunk ways into the show here. And I think next week we're going to try and get somebody to come on and tell their story. And we will, we don't have anything lined up right now. So if you're watching this and you want to come on to the show, give us an email. You can definitely find out more about us at theageofstories.com. That is our primary website that we have for the Golden Age Stories LLC that I have, that we have lots of different projects that we're working on. You can check out all those different projects out on that website. Gets links to all of our friends as well, lots of people that have been on our Crossing Darkness podcast. Mike, if you want to try and give us an outro.
I think it should work. And don't forget to tune in to our Mage the Ascension game, Technogate, on Monday nights at 7 p.m. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/GoldenAgeStories. And remember, that's Goldan, spelled G-U-L-D-A-N.
Awesome.
Bye, well, kitty.
Thank you all for watching, and you guys have a great night.